getting very sleepy. You can't keep your eyes open. She's asleep. Daisy, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
We want you to return here tonight at 8 o'clock. But to tell no one where you're going or why. Now, when I snap my fingers, you'll wake up and you'll feel real good and you won't remember anything.
What's up, everybody? It's Big Mike the Don on the Reverse the Universe podcast. I got Michael Mesmer here today. He's done a lot of shit in his life. He's gone from putting razor blades down his throat. He is a ghost hunter. I just found this out. But mostly my interaction with him is that he does hypnosis, especially for people who are afraid of the COVID virus. So if you want to just briefly, maybe just give me an introduction, what you would say your expertise is.
Cool. Thanks, Big Mike. I appreciate it. I am a clinical hypnotherapist. I'm a certified stress management consultant. I also hold a degree in psychology. I'm a nationally published writer, and I work at as the consultant to the Unger Medical Center here in Rancho Cucamonga, California. And like you mentioned, I have toured the world doing magic. I do physical demonstration with magic, really cool stuff. And then, as you mentioned too, my hobby is ghost hunting, which is pretty cool too.
Yeah, no, that's definitely cool. I know I'm huge into the whole ghost hunter thing, ghost hunters on TV and stuff like that. I mean, my girlfriend hates me because sometimes I can watch like 12 hours of that stuff. It's just nuts the stuff they get. You know, starting off with just the main thing that we were talking about. Hypnosis. All right. I'm very intrigued by hypnosis. I'm intrigued by paranormal stuff like that. And I guess that kind of fits in the realm of it because it's something that's out of body. What is hypnosis that you do? So like when you're hypnosing somebody, what kind of state of mind are you actually putting them in?
Well, hypnosis, you're talking about how it might relate. Well, in some ways, I think the thinking, the mindset for people like myself that are into, you know, hypnosis and magic and all of that, they do sort of blend together. But hypnosis is really a natural ability to relax. And actually, everyone does it all the time, Mike. I'll give you an example. You know, how many times have you been driving down the highway? You get somewhere and say, how did I get here so quick? You know, it's like your mind goes into that hypnosis mode, right? Here's another one I bet you do. If you're sitting watching TV and if your wife or your friend comes up and says something to you, they want to tell you. But after you get done with the TV show, you can't remember what they said to you, right? This is because your mind, what happens is anything that if you open your imagination to something, you focus in on it, you start to relax and you go into that natural hypnotic state. So what I'm telling you is it's not supernatural. You know, people often say to me, hey, I don't believe in hypnosis. Well, you don't have to believe in it because it's not a religious ceremony. Hypnosis is a technique that we use in the medical fields that are used by doctors, dentists, all sorts of people that are a medical tool that unlock that inner ability we have so that we can help ourselves and strengthen ourselves using it. So it's a pretty cool thing because that subconscious is very powerful.
Yes. But, you know, I've seen like hypnosis things where like, you know, you have people come up on stage and then they sit there and then they'll be like, all right, you're, you know, a chicken or something. And like they get up. Is that real? Is that like the real hypnosis of it? Or is that just like entertainment compared to what you're doing?
Well, I also do stage hypnosis shows because it's a great way for me to reach the normal person and get them interested in hypnosis to do the hypnotherapy work that I do with people. So I use it as an advertisement for what I do with the hypnotherapy. But a stage hypnosis show is much like any other hypnosis process. The people that come up there, they're looking for a release. They're looking to let go. They're looking to have fun. So they access that subconscious in that show to be able to do things they normally wouldn't do in normal life, generally speaking. It gives them permission to let go and have a good time. So, but also people in the hypnosis show don't go necessarily as deep a level as hypnosis as people do in a therapy session, because it's not needed. In the show, you're just helping them to relax, have a fun time, and leave feeling great. Now, I will say a lot of stage hypnotists, they're not well-trained. They're there just to make a buck off people. And so they don't really take the care to make sure people have a good hypnosis experience within that show. And a lot of times, people that are unskilled or less skilled, they'll keep up people that aren't really hypnotized in a hypnosis show. For me, I don't do that. I'll get up 13 people because that's my lucky number. And so I'll keep about 8 or 9 of those people. And I'll send back the people that are not generally trying their best to go into the hypnosis and do a genuine, honest performance. But the great thing is with the hypnosis show, not only does the do the people on stage have a great time and get the, I give confidence suggestions at the end of every show so that they gain something from being in the show also. And people have had great response with that. And so many have come back with me for therapy because those confidence suggestions from the show have been so powerful. But also the audience has laugh therapy, which is awesome. So it's a win-win doing a stage hypnosis show. But in answer to your question, depending on who's doing the show, which hypnotist, their training level. In my show, everyone that's on the show, you would definitely know they are hypnotized.
That's what I've always wondered. It's like, because you see these people doing crazy things. But then again, like you just said, people need to be in a relaxed state of mind. And that's really what hypnosis is. So you put people back to their seats, tell them, you know, like you're not really taking it serious or something like that. So you basically have to be in a state of mind. You have to be willing. You have to give yourself up to actually do this.
That's right. Actually, with all, not just with hypnosis, but with everything in life, you have to want to make a change or you have to want to do something. If you don't, it's never going to be valid. You know, I mean, a lot of people go to psychologists and psychiatrists for 20, 30 years trying to solve issues. Well, unfortunately, they don't really want to change. And if you don't really want to change, just like if you don't really want to do hypnosis in a hypnosis show, you're going to not do it. You're going to not be open to making it happen. But the problem is most people think that a hypnotist is going to take control of their minds. You know, that's, you know, I'm sure you might have heard about or maybe seen the movie Get Out or many other movies. Yeah, that showed hypnotists as people that are going to control your mind, make you do things you don't want to do and all of that kind of thing. And then you're going to lose control of your mind and you will not have control over your mind anymore. So a lot of people have that fear because I'm telling you, that goes back. Look, Get Out's recent, but you can go back to, let's say, the early 1819s, 1900s. And you will see, like, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari was a movie in Germany just after World War I and before World War II. And it had a hypnotist in it that was in a carnival that kept this guy hypnotized 24/7. And he would send the guy out to kill people at night. And so this started way, way back, this mentality that hypnosis is about controlling someone, making them do things they don't want to do that are horrible. And like I say, it's carried right up to the most recent films, like Get Out was, it really made people unsettle about hypnosis because it sort of strengthened that false concept that you're going to lose your mind and be controlled by someone else. So yeah, you have to want to do it is the answer because you're doing it.
Yeah, that's always been my fear. I mean, I've always thought the stuff's cool. I like watching other people do it and stuff like that. I just never really wanted to put myself in that kind of predicament because I'm always scared someone's going to like take control of my head. You know what I mean? As unrealistic as it really seems, because I get the concept behind it. You know, like the concept is like nobody can force you to do anything. Everyone's got their own mind. And mind is, you know, the most powerful thing we have is our mind. You know, I guess it's kind of a senseless fear, but it's just weird. The stuff that I've seen, magician shows and stuff like that, where they hypnotize people. And like, it's kind of scary what people are doing. But then again, these are willing people that are kind of just kind of going with the flow.
They're looking for a release. And this is their way to access a release that they normally wouldn't have in their normal life. And, you know, you have to understand, Big Mike, that hypnosis, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. In other words, even when you're working with a hypnotist, they're not hypnotizing you. They're not subjugating you. You're learning through their guidance how to unlock your inner potential, your inner gifts that actually we've never really learned how to use in school or anywhere else. In school, they always put in things in our minds, but they never teach us how to use our mind to the full potential. And you know, when we're born, we have everything we need to be successful in life. But unfortunately, when we're little, some people don't protect that gift and we lose touch with it. Through hypnosis and hypnotists, we can reconnect with that special gift that's within us that we didn't know we had or didn't know we could use. So it's really cool. But yeah, you'll never do anything under hypnosis you don't want to do. There are exceptions now. I don't know if you saw the original movie Manchurian Candidate with Frank Sinatra. The newer one's not quite as accurate. But if in, say, in Russia or in China or communist countries or different areas, if they use hypnotic drugs with natural hypnosis, then yes, they can control your mind. They're breaking down everything that you normally, all your walls, all your safety factors, they're breaking down with those hypnotic drugs. And then the suggestions become more powerful. So yes, if those are combined, you can do that. But normal hypnosis, like you see in a show, or like we do as hypnotherapists, or the psychologist might do with you, no, you'll never do anything you don't want to do, because you'll never do anything against your moral beliefs or any other belief systems you may have.
The whole drug thing, they give it to you, that's just giving you a chemical imbalance. So that's what they put you in, like a schizophrenic state. You know, that's scary. But I mean, that's a lot of fictional stuff. You know, God knows, hopefully that's not really going on. But who the fuck knows?
It they probably are programming people to do things, to be double agents and all that kind of thing. It probably is happening, but we won't ever know about it, and I.
Well, I mean, going a little bit of a subsector, I mean, I don't know if you like to talk about this, but I've always thought, you know, on this podcast, we've always talked about like vibrations and like, you know, how people can alter your mind just by changing frequencies and vibrations in the air and sending signals to you, kind of like, you know, tricking you, you know, in some ways and like making you feel a certain type of way. So like, I definitely believe in that. And I believe that, you know, there's people out there that are paid to learn how to change the frequencies and try to make you think a certain way, kind of help divide the nation, you know, because we're all so divided nowadays. I feel like that's the goal, is to kind of divide everybody and send different kind of frequencies and try to bring people to a place where, you know, they can't unite.
Well, I would say, I look at that from my standpoint as a hypnotist, I would say that the power of suggestion is really rampant, especially in the news media and other places. We were talking just briefly, I mentioned about the cabinet of Dr. Caligari back in Germany. Well, during that time that that movie was being produced, it was a mega, mega big hit in Germany at that time. And there was another set of movies called Dr. Mabuse that followed that shortly after in the 1920s. And this was the time Hitler was starting to rise to power. I've often thought that there was a hypnotist, actually a mentalist, and hypnotist, stage hypnotist named Erich Jan Hanussen. He actually schooled Hitler in the use of the power of suggestion, also how to present to the public, how to use hypnosis for mass assemblies. And so that was happening the same time those films were happening. So the question is, were the hypnosis films influencing Hitler to want to learn that skill and use it? Or were the films influenced by Hitler using those skills? But in any case, Hitler used mass hypnotism absolutely in his work and in the used the propaganda in the films that they would show people to change the mindset of the entire government of Germany and all the people of Germany. And of course, we know where that led. But it's happening today with the media and how they're posing all of their programs. You know, the news is no longer reporting news, it's making news. And that's the big issue there. And so, yes, you might call it vibrations. For me, I would call it the power of suggestion being utilized in a very specific way. But yeah, I think both explanations lead to the same outcome, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's like I said, that's what this world is made of. It's all about opinions, and, you know, opinions are just suggestions they're making everybody. And if you look, you know, especially in the political climate we're in today, you know, you have your not even Republican Party anymore. Now it's your Trump Party being so massively suggested on that side. And then you have like everything else, which is huge. And I'm a more liberal person. I've always said I'm a more liberal person, but I think the liberal side has become the most psychological warfare they've ever had in history. They're doing on people right now because they're making you feel guilty for everything. And that's the craziest thing. And it's scary. It really is scary how they're trying to persuade everybody to hate at one another because someone has an opinion.
Well, and you know, the thing about it is, and this is not political because I don't talk politics, but I can talk about politicians and how the mentality of things, you know, with Donald Trump, for instance, and you can look at it this way. If they would have just left him alone, he still would have exposed what he was ultimately, and everything would have happened the way it did anyway. They didn't need to put us through all the anxiety, through the mental torment. I mean, combined with COVID and everything else, they didn't need to take us to this level psychologically, because any politician, whether it's Donald Trump, whether it's Nancy Pelosi, whether it's Gavin Newsom here in California, they all will expose themselves through their actions. And so it's not necessary to push that to happen earlier than it needs to, because ultimately they'll be found out and things will adjust. It's just that way. You know, you can't hide what you are. You can't hide what you do. So, you know, I wish they would stop pushing the red button all the time and taking us to DEFCON 1 and hurting people psychologically. I mean, that's what my COVID gnosis thing is about right now. So many people are suffering psychologically, not from the COVID itself, but from all of this stuff we're talking about, you know, and the stress level and the lack of sleep and the, you know, lack of confidence because we've been so isolated. And so that's where I come in to help people. But, you know, if they would just stop pushing those buttons, everything would work out anyway. Everything would become clear anyway, and everything would end up the same way anyway.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And that's going into the next thing I want to talk about. This was the number one thing, because I thought this was the most interesting thing there is. I've never heard of this, that you're actually using hypnotherapy to work with people with COVID. So my assumption on it, I mean, tell me if I'm right or not. I mean, I think of you actually helping people, you know, coming back off that ledge of being so scared of the disease, you know, because there's people that haven't done anything in the last God knows, because they're so scared to leave their houses and they're so scared of people. You know, I believe the disease is a bad disease and I understand all that. But in the long term, I think there's a little bit of an excessiveness to it when you let it overwhelm your life, you know? So I think you're helping people bring it back.
I'm trying to, you know, the thing is, well, I wouldn't say I'm trying, I'm doing it, but it's one person at a time. You know, there was a saying in the Rocky movie that I loved. I love Rocky films. I met Stallone. And I work with Stallone's brother. I did he was my opening act. He has a band, and he was my opening act for a casino show that I was doing. So I've been around the Stallones a little. And one saying from the film that I thought was so powerful was one step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time. That's how winning is done. Or like he would say, one step at a time, one round, one punch at a time, one round at a time. That's how winning is done. So, you know, so that's really COVID too. You know, we're not going to have an instant turnaround because of all this psychological bombardment. What's going to happen is one session, one move at a time, one change in our life at a time, and we will come back to being in the sunlight again. But it is a challenge. I mean, I have, in the showbiz arena, for instance, all of my friends, they didn't work at all the entire year of 2020, and still it's not coming back. So these are damaging times, and many other industries. I mean, even people that are working, my daughter and my son are teachers, and they teach remotely. And my daughter, because in California, they do not have in-person school. Oh, yeah. So my daughter has had to totally adjust what she does with that. But in the downside of it is she's become sort of scared of going out in public, going out to public venues, being around people, because you become so isolated in your cave, you know, doing your job, that it's a natural thing to start fearing what's outside the door. Of course, I work with them on it, but I will tell you that it's very important people take some kind of positive step, whether it's working with me, with my COVID gnosis practice, or any other modality to help them to continue to be outside in the world, in life. It's getting worse and worse as people stay away from it further and further.
I'm just scared in general for everybody. You know, like, I mean, I'm not a big scared person about it. You know, I'm more of whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but I will take my precautions. But I'm just scared that this world is not going to go back to the way it was. You know, like, I feel like this going far into the future, people are still going to be wearing masks. You know, we're going to look a lot like China. You know, people are going to be scared to interact. You know, I feel like on a psychology level, because that's really what it is, it's like a psychology behind it. You know, it's like we're going to lose connection with our own species. You know, because we're not getting that, you know, that interaction of just seeing someone's facial expression, or, you know, just being able to not be scared to be a little too close to somebody, you know. And I understand you have to keep your 6 feet and stuff. But in general, it's just like we're going to, you know, we're really going to hurt each other psychologically, emotionally. You know, things are going to be different moving forward, you know, for our children and our grandchildren after that.
I'm going to hope not. I will tell you that if you go to South Dakota, for instance, I did go there last year on one of the gigs that I was doing hypnosis and magic in South Dakota. Even during the main part of COVID, they never bent to these rules. And honestly, their numbers, they did peak at one point like everyone's, but they've had no worse, in fact, less worse than many, many states dealing with this as far as the numbers. I was there, also Wyoming to a great extent. I was there too. People were hugging me. We were just like normal. I'm not advising that, but I'm saying that some people choose not to follow this directive. Because as you were saying, I want to get back to what you just said. By putting on that mask, we're no longer human beings. We're separating from one another. And of course, it makes people more of a herd. They talk about herd mentality getting over the COVID, but it creates another kind of herd mentality where people aren't human anymore, where we're all just, you know, a mask and a body, and nobody knows if you're smiling, if you're not. When I'm at a store, or, you know, part of my thing that I'd enjoy is I love to smile a lot. I like to interact a lot. And that's what helps make the world go around in a happy way, is for all of us to have that interaction. So I'm not saying there's some big conspiracy theory about it, but there very well could be part of that involved with it. I mean, it makes people more all one kind of thing, one kind of image. And then we start being thinking one way. So there are psychological, as you mentioned, there's psychological issues that are far deeper than just protecting ourselves from this COVID-19.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess I look at it because I live in Jersey. So, you know, out here, I'm in a very, you know, this whole East Coast is very liberal, very, you know, so it's like the rules are a bit crazy. Governor Murphy out here. And then you got Governor Cuomo in New York. And
out in California.
Exactly. It's you know, like I said, I don't want to get too much into politics. I'm not trying to get you into
I'm not political either.
But in the same sense, you know, it is these liberal states and stuff like that, that, you know, they're pushing this agenda so hard that, you know, these are the places they're going to be so affected. You know, it goes full circle. This is the whole thing we were just talking about before.
Yeah. And it's, I think by making everybody, we've seen this throughout this thing now, we've had a road map or a track record now, and we've seen that when they keep people isolated, that once there's a situation like a holiday or something where everybody gets together, all of a sudden you have this explosion of COVID cases. Now, we've seen in South Dakota and Wyoming, some of these states that are not as controlling, that they never have a big explosion. They just simply have it along the way, and there's peaks and valleys. But it's never that big peak that we've experienced in where you live, where I live, when things open up for a moment or when there's a big protest or something, then all of a sudden, bam, it's an explosion. Now, if you just let people kind of go along, and if they follow the rules in generally, but they're not isolated so much, and you don't stay within your, you know, like they do with here with stay at home and all that, you don't have those big peaks and explosions of the virus. So I think there's good thing on both sides. I'm not so sure which side is the most effective, but in my estimation, for what I've seen with where I have worked with South Dakota and places like that, I think maybe it would have been much wiser at the beginning, once things calmed down, to just open things up slowly and then let them naturally progress, so there wasn't those big explosive moments with cases exploding and spreading.
No, listen, I totally agree with it. I think there's a moderation to it. You know, there's got to be a medium. You can't have it too extreme, and you can't have it too lackadaisy.
I don't wear the mask to do all that. It's good. I'm not testifying against any of that. I think all of the precautions are important, and I'm not saying, oh well, because I was up there and they lived differently there. I lived differently for that time, which I did, because you don't want to insult the culture that you're working within.
Right.
But I will tell you that. For me, of course, in my show, I get up 18 people, 13 to 18 people a show. I had literally hundreds of people on stage with me in those shows. And it was during the actual peak of COVID, if you want to call it at that point. And I'm still doing fine. I'm not saying that's me. And I'm very thankful for that. But on the other hand, I do follow all the directives. I do keep my distance when possible. I do wear the mask. I do all of that. But I'm just saying, I think there's more perhaps to this situation than meets the eye.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like you said, South Dakota, stuff like that, like Jersey, highest densely populated area. So that's kind of where they come from with that. But neither here or there. When it comes to, you know, what you're actually doing. And now, is this like a step by step, one thing fits all type of therapy you're giving people with COVID, or are you really honing in on everybody's individual need for it? So if somebody's more extreme, are you taking it more heavily to help them, as if someone's a little more lighthearted about it but still scared of it? Are you doing different approaches, or are you using the same approach for everybody and getting the same success rate?
Well, here's the thing. The program itself is set up to be 4 sessions. And the reason being, with hypnotherapy, if you take more than 3 actual hypnosis sessions, you're probably not doing it right, because you don't need to be like a psychiatrist, psychologist, where you go for year after year. It's a very brief. What happens is the first session, by the way, they're all done by Zoom, so they're COVID compliant. And hypnosis is very, very powerful with Zoom. It works great. In fact, in the old days, we used to do hypnotherapy sessions by phone for people that were not in our own area. So with Zoom, it's just like doing a real session in person. So it's great. You don't have to leave your home. You're comfortable. You're safe. You know, you're in your own place, which is even better for hypnotherapy. But the first meeting, I spent about a half hour just talking like we're talking to get to know the person. And then the meetings 2, 3, and 4 are the hypnosis meetings. And during those hypnotherapy sessions, the first one's dealing with stress and relieving the stress that they have. And by the way, after every session, I send an audio so that they continue to practice the hypnotherapy or the hypnosis, because they're learning the skill. As I mentioned earlier, they're learning how to do this. I just help them. So I want to give them this skill to use for their whole lives. So they get the audio after the first session of stress. And then the second one we do is about sleep, as I mentioned earlier, because people are having major sleep issues because of this situation. So we do sleep. And the third one is a combination generally of confidence building to be able to go back out, be in public, feel comfortable, and then weight issues, because we've all gained a little weight through this whole thing sitting at home. So that's what we generally do. But during the time, I had a client on Wednesday from Florida I was working with. And mind you, I'm in California, so we're talking about distance like we're with the hypnotherapy. And that client required a deeper situation. So I just shifted to that. But I will tell you, he said, is it the same for everyone? The truth is, there is the same core issue for everyone. And that is fear. This whole thing is about fear. So there is a core issue. The core issue is fear. The question is, what is their personal fear related to the centralized fear that we all have dealing with the COVID issue? So there's many fears that we deal with. Being sickness and aging is one of them. And that if you're older and you're worried about the COVID, that's a big one. Poverty is another one. If you're worried about your job and not working, that's another big fear. There's actually five of them. Death is another one. And that obviously is attached to COVID. Criticism, people that want to wear a mask, people that don't. Whether they go out in public and people, saying things to them because they don't, whether they're wearing a mask or not, things like that, criticism of one's person, rejection. So those are the main fears that we all deal with, and whether it's COVID or our normal life. So that's the core that I normally try to get down to, is eliminating those fears. Now, when you work with stress, sleep, and confidence, you're kind of alleviating a lot of those fears. So if you get my meaning. So that's why the program's structured that way, with the four sessions and the three hypnotherapy sessions dealing with those specific issues. But again, if I find that there's need to do more, I veer off and go a little deeper and work with a more core issue.
Yeah, because, it's not even psychological to a point when it's hurting you financially. You know, people, when they're hurting money-wise, there's little people can say to really make them feel better, because, this is the USA. That's what runs this country, is how much money you making and how well you living. And without that, that's like one of the biggest stresses there is. But for me, honestly, I've been working. I'm actually I'm an HVAC tech by trade. So I do heating and cooling, and that's my normal job other than podcasting. So I've been working, it's been different, wearing a mask, wearing gloves, wearing shoe covers, like coming in the house like I'm ready to like inspect for mold. Financially, I've been okay. I feel for people like in my previous career, I did a lot of serving. I worked in restaurants, I did a lot of things like that. People like them, All my friends, they're hurting so bad right now, So they're getting money from the government. And, it goes two ways. The psychology behind it is, you're not working, so you're not really making money. Then you're getting money from the government. So now you're feeling dependent.
Absolutely.
And, like I said, people are so messed up in the head right now. So what you're doing is so good for people to at least try to maybe alleviate that. Have you seen people that are like, what is like the most severe you've seen with people like and their anxiety levels with it? Just like how severe?
You go the whole gamut of it. I mean, again, the person I was working with this week in particular, it turned out that it was very core issues from when they were a child that were affecting them now. And that's how it works with hypnosis. You see, when we're young, from age 1 through 7 or 1 through 8, we have what's called uncritical acceptance of ideas. That's our subconscious accepting anything that goes into it. Okay. We don't have a filter. We don't decide what's good for us, what's not. So when we're young, things that happen to us, for instance, I'll give a simple example. If you're driving in a car, you're not driving, but your parent was, you're in your child seat or whatever in the back seat. There's a song you like on the radio. So you're singing along as a child. And then your dad or your mom turns around, would you cut that out? I don't want that noise right now. Well, then in your subconscious mind for the rest of your life, you believe you're not able to sing, or you shouldn't sing, or you don't sound good. It's a bad thing to do. And so you may have been the greatest opera singer in the world. You may have had that potential, but your parent took away that gift that you had by giving you that dramatic suggestion at that point in your life. Now, when we're past age 7 or 8, we have this critical factor that happens in our conscious mind. So it's like a brick wall that sort of blocks anything that you don't want to accept. So you no longer can be hurt that way in that deep sense of the word. Mm. And those suggest from when you're little, those things go around like a broken record that play over and over again. So they shade every decision, everything we do in life. So when we get into a session, for instance, the lady that I worked with the other day, she had issues based around her mother and her mother not loving her and feeling unloved. And so those things cause all the other things we're talking about, the anxiety, the anger issues, and those things compiled with the COVID situation explode even further. So it's you have to tailor it. You have to follow where it leads. Now, I will tell you, with hypnosis, unlike the modalities of treatment with psychologists and psychiatrists, we don't have a roadmap. We just kind of let you find your own. What we do is we guide you to help find your own healing within yourself, because you have the answers. You really know what's wrong with you. You just haven't realized it and focused on it. And once you do, then we help you to see it from the standpoint of being an adult now and no longer being that child being the victim, but now being an adult saying, you know, I saw that happen. I realized it happens, but that's not going to affect me in that way anymore. And by doing that, then it alleviates a lot of other issues that have been affecting you in a negative way in your adult life.
You know, I get that. You know, it's like, I see it as like people had these pre-tendencies beforehand on how they would handle something so, you know, horrific like this disease. And now that's actually happening, you know, they've already, you know, established this is their reaction. So, I mean, I find a lot of people even my own family, I have people that, you know, they overreact to things. Okay. And just naturally overreact. Now I take it to the level of this, and what are they going to do? It's not like they're going to react normal now. It's like now they have a reason to act even more overreactive. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like,
yes. You
know, the personality is a big thing all of a sudden, like all together. And, you know, people's mental state by itself, like overboard, you know, a lot of things happen and, you know, people act in certain ways. Like me, I'm more of a calm person when it comes to everything. So this whole thing hasn't really affected me that much.
Right.
I just think this is like, it's like the gasoline to the fire. You know what I mean? It's just making things a lot bigger and kind of exposing, like you said, now this is so big that it's exposing of issues that people had from, you know, their past.
Yeah, that's the big mess about the whole thing. And, you know, it just like you said, gas on a fire is a good analogy, because none of us have been under, well, not maybe some, but most of, if you've been in the war, different things, right. You know, PTSD, all of that. In fact, I work with a lot of war veterans with phantom limb pain and things like that. I love working with the veterans, but most of us have never been under this kind of pressure, both personally and business-wise, probably in our whole lives, and not our parents and not us. Because most of our parents, now my parents were older and I'm older, so they went through World War II. But for most parents, for most of our families, no one's had to deal with this level of stress and devastation in our personal lives ever. So, and the thing is, people say, oh, as soon as we get the shots, as soon as we get the vaccine, that will take care of the physical issue perhaps, but it's not going to take care of all the mental damage that's happened during this time. So it's going to be decades before all of the people, maybe even a lifetime for some people, to get over this. And it'll be the next generation that'll finally be clear of this whole mental aspect of the COVID issue.
Yeah, actually, it could be a lesson. You know, this is a lesson in disguise right now for how to, you know, handle future situations, and kind of if we can, you know, get together and actually unite on a front of trying to make this a better place because of it. I mean, it's very possible that's what's going to happen, is that, you know, everyone's mental, you know, capacity, psychology behind everything, we're going to be like, all right, we lived through it. We could teach our, you know, our children and down the lines how to, you know, handle situations like this. Because, you know, we had this one situation back in 2020 where the whole world was on fire over a disease. And like I said, not to discredit disease, but it kills less than 0.1% of the population. You know what I mean? So it is one of those things where we have to learn how to, we can't just go about the medical of the disease, but we have to hone in on the actual psychology of a nation full of people, because we can't have a scare of a nation full of people. We have to have some normalcy to our lives, because people are going crazy, and you're seeing it probably more than ever now because of it.
Oh yeah. I mean, suicide rate is incredibly increased exponentially each month since this thing really hit. And, you know, it's terrifying, really. If there's a whole other side of it that really the media, no one's really focusing much on. You will hear a story here and there about it. There's a term called depths of despair, and that's capsulizing all of this together in one, and the suicide rate that's coming from this. And you'll hear a little bit about it, but you know, it's all about the masks, all about the vaccine. Oh, we'll be all back to normal. No, everyone won't be back to normal. Everyone will carry this weight for a long time. And it's something you shouldn't just stuff away and put in a suitcase. You need to face it, deal with it so that you can, when you get back to normal, when we get back to normal, I hate the term new normal. We're going to get back to normal, not new normal. And when we do, we'll never be quite comfortable in that world again until we face the changes that were caused upon us at this point psychologically and clear them so that then we can be at normal again. So there's more steps to becoming normal than just a vaccine and a mask.
Yeah, no, it's true. And like I said, it's going to take time. But you know what? I appreciate people like you that are actually helping, you know, more than I can, because I honestly, at least I don't have the patience for people. So you're a very patient man to be able to deal with this and, you know, help, and, you know, you're doing great work. So I really do appreciate it. I'm very thankful for you come on and explain these things, because like I always tell my listeners, I don't know a lot about anything. So I love to learn and just talk to people and, you know, just see another side of, you know, the world that is not accustomed to myself.
I'll tell you something. You said, I don't know a lot about anything. Well, let me tell you something. You're actually the smart person, because the smart person is the person that listens to people. And the listener is the intelligent person, not the speaker. And in fact, I will tell you, I'm not uncomfortable doing media. I love to talk about what I do and help people to uplift themselves and learn about something new. But honestly, when I'm not in the media light spotlight, my thing is I love to sit and listen. I was on a Clubhouse meeting the other day, and the person running it knows my credentials and my skills, but it was being held about another healing modality. And two people were leading it, and they wanted me to come on and talk about how my feelings about what they were doing. I came on, I said, well, first, I want to congratulate you on this good work like you're talking about today with me. And I want to say that, you know, wonderful that they're helping people. And I said, but the smart man is the man who listens. So I want to sit back and just enjoy the program and learn from what you're doing today. So I just stepped back, and they were, you know, that was great, because I want to learn, and you're learning. And, you know, you act like that's a negative, that you don't know much. Actually, you know a lot, because you're listening to a lot of people and you're absorbing it. And so that's the secret to being intelligent in life, is listening, not talking.
Yeah. No, 100%. And that's what I do, man. That's why I started this. And that's why I call it Reverse the Universe, man, because we're reversing the way people think. You know, it's like thinking outside the box and learning different things and not just being stuck in your own mentality so much. If you want, I just want you to plug out for everybody, you know, your podcast, your shows, anything coming up, anything in particular.
Okay, great. Well, I do have a podcast. It's called The Michael Mesmer Show, M-E-Z-M-E-R. And that Michael Mesmer Show is just me. I don't have guests on that show, because I made it sort of like Paul Harvey used to be. Some of you may remember him on the radio, where he just does a small show. My show runs anywhere from 10 to 15 minutes on Mondays. And it's just a quick way to get away from politics. We never talk politics, religion, or any of those subjects. In fact, this week is really a cool one. It's about what's haunted in Vegas, curses in Vegas. And I talk about my personal experiences of ghost activity in Las Vegas. And then I also talk about the subject of, is Post Malone cursed? And so we talk about the Dybbuk box, which you won't know any of these subject matter, but it's all about ghost haunted activity this week. But other weeks, we've talked about Hitler and hypnosis and all different subject matter. So it's a fun break from your week. It's a good way to start the week, because it's always interesting and always has interesting story plots, that things you may never heard before. So anyway, it's on all the major platforms, but Spotify is where most people find me. But it's called The Michael Mesmer Show. And then also, if you want to work with me with COVID, my website is COVIDNosis, one word, COVIDNosis.weebly.com. So COVIDNosis.weebly.com. If you just want to reach out to me, email me at hypnomesmer, just like it sounds, one word, hypnomesmer@hotmail.com. And if you list Big Mike in the subject line, I'll know you're coming from his show. And the first 10 people that do that from this show, I'll give you a free audio download.
I love it. Some incentives for my listeners. And I will definitely have that all posted up as well. So like I said, I hope you guys have a good day, no matter what day you're listening to this podcast. And just remember, reverse the universe.
Awesome.